Welcome back to Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. After four long, lethal years, the Civil War seemed to hurtle to an end. 2 days after the Confederate government evacuated its capital, Richmond, in early April, President Lincoln and his 12-year-old son Tad visited that smoldering city. In his tall hat, Lincoln walked Richmond streets, a moving target, but no one fired at him. In less than a week came General Lee's surrender at Appomattox, and 2 days after that, a jubilant crowd gathered in front of the White House. Lincoln stood in the window over the North Door and spoke to them, words that may have sealed his fate. When Richard Striner, professor of history at Washington College in Chestertown, visited us last month, I asked whether that speech was the first time Lincoln had publicly expressed support for voting rights for freed blacks.
Publicly is right. Privately, secretly, more than a year earlier, he sent a suggestion to the newly elected free state governor of the soon-to-be free state of Louisiana, suggesting it. Now he was beginning to show his hand. A hugely significant speech, received in foreign capitals as a manifesto, by the way, that this administration in its second term would enfranchise blacks.
And how was that received by people listening there at the White House?
Well, one person listening at the White House was John Wilkes Booth. And the way he received it was to vow that this would be the last speech that Lincoln ever made.
Which is a great story, but how do we know what John Wilkes Booth said to his fellows there on the
evidence
lawn?
Evidence is circumstantial, but not that circumstantial. Booth was in the company of two other members of the assassination gang, and after the assassination, they were all hunted down. Booth was killed, of course, before he could be put on trial. But the others were caught, tried, found guilty, and executed. And in the course of the trial, they had lawyers. They talked to the lawyers. And two of the lawyers, representing two of the co-conspirators, wrote their memoirs years later and separately included in their memoirs the account given to them by their client of what Booth had said. So it's not absolutely certain, but it's pretty likely that Booth did say that.
And so it was at that speech on April 11th that the plot Booth had been conducting to kidnap the president turned into a
murder plot. So it would seem.
Lincoln essentially says, let's not put too much time and effort into figuring out whether the Confederate states have been out of the Union or not. Let's just move forward as if everybody's in the Union.
Yeah.
Is this a lawyer's trick?
Yes. Absolutely a lawyer's trick. First of all, Lincoln had stated since the beginning of the war that secession was impossible. His historical and constitutional theory of unionism was that the Union was perpetual and secession could not occur. He said so in his first inaugural address in 1861. And now he's saying that, he says in this speech that though some have been arguing about this one way or the other, he's never made up his mind. Why? Because I think there's never any way to know this for sure, but I do have a theory. As early as January 1862, some radical Republicans led by Charles Sumner had introduced resolutions in Congress to the effect that while secession had not in fact taken place, while these seceded states, so-called, were not actually out of the Union, they weren't exactly full-fledged states anymore either. By dint of the treason involved in trying to secede, they had forfeited their statehood. They had unstated themselves. They were now mere unorganized territories that Congress had full power to slice, dice, divvy up, put back together any way Congress saw fit. It was called the state suicide theory. Congress never passed this legislation, so it never even reached Lincoln's desk. All right, and now Lincoln is saying, with Confederate defeat imminent, well, there's been metaphysical disputation as to the status of these states. Some say they're in the Union, some say they're out of the Union. You know what? Let's not even worry about it. Let's just work together in a practical way. What's going on here? Why is he saying this at all? And why is he pretending that he'd never taken a position on it? I think, though I can't prove it, He was sending a signal between the lines to the radical Republicans, who would be leaders in the newly elected Congress that would come to town in the fall of 1865. I think he was saying, you want to work along the lines of that state suicide theory? Okay. So Lincoln was looking over that political legislative horizon, sending signals to the radical Republicans. He'd work in partnership with them. He would be absolutely cooperative. Never happened because Booth made certain of that.
That's Washington College Professor of History Richard Striner here on Maryland Morning 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about the last speech Abraham Lincoln gave and its connection to his assassination 3 days later. How does any of this relate to Lincoln's quoted, I think it was while he was visiting Richmond, someone asked him about what should happen, and he said, let him up easy, let him up easy.
Well, it all depends on what one means by let him up easy. I believe that Lincoln sincerely meant that he would not want to be vindictive through mass treason trials, executions for treason, that sort of thing. What he wanted was to move boldly forward in a positive way to begin conferring as many rights as the politics would permit upon the newly emancipated slaves, moving forward in a positive way to rebuild the economies of the southern states, to be positive about it. One of the interesting things about the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, subject of Steven Spielberg's wonderful movie several years ago, after Congress passed it, by supermajority votes in each house, of course, it had to go out to be ratified by a supermajority of the states. Few people know that, and here's an example of Lincoln's supreme audacity. He actually proposed to his cabinet that he would suggest to Congress that the federal government should pay all the slave states to ratify to the tune of $400 million. Again, have you ever heard of any president suggesting paying off states to ratify an amendment? What would the founding fathers have thought? Well, never mind what they would have thought. Nothing in the Constitution forbids it. Well, the cabinet didn't like the idea, so Lincoln retracted it. But part of his reasoning, he said, was not only would it guarantee ratification of this amendment, those hundreds of millions of dollars would be really useful, you know, to the southern states. Why not? Reconstruction under Lincoln would have been such a dynamic, radical process, but the Republicans controlled Congress by supermajorities. I think we could have had the Civil Rights Revolution 100 years sooner if Lincoln had lived. Can I prove it? No. I just think it.
It's a fascinating thought. Let's continue it sometime.
Okay.
Thank you. 3 days after this speech, at Ford's Theater in Washington, John Wilkes Booth of the Maryland Family of Actors assassinated President Lincoln. Richard Striner is professor of history at Washington College in Chestertown. He's written several books about Lincoln, and his most recent book, published last year, is Woodrow Wilson and World War I, A Burden Too Great to Bear. At our website, wipr.org/Maryland Morning, we have more information and a link to the text of President Lincoln's last speech. Maryland Morning is an original production
of Your Public Radio,
WYPR,
in Baltimore.
The show is produced by Matt Purdy
and Jonna McCone.
We have production help from
Estelle Klein
and Catherine Sway.
Nathan Sterner directs and engineers.
I'm Tom Hall.
And I'm Sheila Cast. Tomorrow is April 21st. On that day in Maryland history, 1649, the General Assembly passed the Maryland Toleration Act. It kept Catholics from being persecuted for their beliefs and was a pioneering law protecting religious freedoms in North America. Tomorrow is also a date in history because it's our birthday. Maryland Morning turns 9 years old. Thanks for tuning in all these years. We're back Wednesday. Please join us.